conspiracy theory on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. And it comes via the 413, and that is that Kendrick Bourne is trying to get himself shipped up and out of here back to the Niners because they need a wide receiver.
So maybe, possibility.
Maybe that's why he's being vocal.
No, he's trying to get himself shipped up out of here down to Tampa Bay. Could be a massive possibility.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I mean, think about it. When's the last time you've seen Kendrick Bourne catch a ball?
Yeah.
I mean, like he's, you know, I think we all thought he would be a nice, decent little player for this team. But
he'd be downgrading the QB he's getting passes from.
Who's that? Baker Mayfield?
No, if Bourne went to the Niners.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he'd be with a better offensive coordinator. Isn't he like, doesn't he seem like he has, like, what is his role? Like,
well, he's been, how long has he been here? Since 2021?
I think he was part of that 2021 offseason.
Yeah, the big, you know, the Hunter Henry thing. I mean, and he had, like, a solid, you like, all right, this is a guy that, you know, you could. He's probably not a number one, but he's a solid 2A, 2B, however you wanted to do it. He could do a few different things. And now he's just basically, you know, he's nowhere to be found. So if I was him, I'd want to get the hell out of here, too.
All right. Well, let's get to this, Shime.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Where do you want to begin, Chime?
Well, Greg, I think it's only appropriate we begin with the most philosophical or douchey philosophical man in all of sports, the one and only Aaron Rodgers. many moons ago, he gave us the R-E-L-A-X phrase. Well, today he comes with a new analogy on a football season and on life. Here is Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show.
I think you have to get yourself to a point, whether you're 2-5 or 5-2, what's the worst that could happen? And take your mind to that spot and deal with it. And then what's the best that could happen? And take your mind to that and deal with it. But deal with it and then move on. And just play free. We've been in this spot before. We, meaning myself and some of the guys I've played with. You know, there's the semi-famous relaxed statement. That was after 3 weeks, you know, going into week four. We were turning around. The power of belief is a snowball that can start an avalanche. And I think that's what we need. And it starts with me. You know?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
The power of belief.
The snowball.
And I find that thinking about those things is best in complete darkness.
He's basically saying, hey, listen, we got the get right team coming up this Sunday. So let's go out there, beat the Patriots, and this will turn things around.
Can I just say this, Greg, very briefly?
Yes.
Imagine believing in that ass. Oh, I almost just said the full thing. Imagine listening to that guy and saying, you know what, he's going to help my team win. What? He's the biggest narcissist in American sports.
He really is, I think.
He's bigger than LeBron.
It's like, between him and LeBron,
but,
really.
With all the things LeBron does, he doesn't tell you how to live your life. He doesn't lecture you on your behaviors. Like, he's, you know, kind of douchey, but he's also the most talented in the world at what he does. Uh-huh. And he's won how many? Four?
Yeah.
At least he's won a bunch. What has Aaron Rodgers won? A single title. He's won as many NFC championships as Rex Grossman. God, that guy sucks.
Well, belief is a snowball, which can become an avalanche.
Yep.
So it's good to believe. All right. I mean, what's the line for Sunday?
Last check, it was 7.
You have any faith in this New England Patriots team at all?
No.
No.
Jets, too. Like, they need a win.
Right.
Is this the perfect, like...
Stop, Shime. Stop. We did that last week.
Classic George Costanza wiki. You know, like, it's just completely different angle.
No. So everything, the episode where everything George was doing didn't work for him, so he went complete opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't think that's going to work.
I don't know. The Jets are kind of a disaster, too.
They
didn't score a single point against the Steelers in the second half.
You know who was a disaster?
Steelers are good.
Jacksonville was a disaster. And what happened when you played
them? Yeah, but they were playing for their job. jobs. Like, at this point, the head coach has already been canned in New York. Aaron Rodgers isn't playing for his job.
Believe me, Sean, I'd love to jump on this train with you, but
I know, I'm just trying to, like, make any kind of theory as to how it could be possible, but I'm not even talking myself into it.
Like Ty said, this is the Jets' homecoming, even though they're playing on the road.
Yep. But you can't even, at least I can't even have confidence in taking the points because they get blown out.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
They don't even play close games.
Just keep Drake May safe, and hopefully he has an okay game.
Yeah, yeah, that's, right. I told you, that's what we're doing now, right? Yeah. I said this last week. You guys are like, no, it's just want to see him go out there, get better every week, develop.
And stay safe.
And, you know, obviously, stay healthy. But if you don't win, great, because guess what? You get the number one overall pick.
Oh,
and then
how sweet would it be if they beat Aaron Rodgers?
So you got two wins. Big deal.
Yeah, he's already cooked. I have to, Greg, but speaking of homecoming on the road, Rivers was such a behemoth in the ISL. My sophomore year, our homecoming was on the road. We had to bring, like, fake stands in. It was the most pathetic thing, and we lost 42-6.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Speaking of your New England Patriots, Mike Florio had this to say on Pro Football Talk about the chances that Jerod Mayo talks himself out of a job. Here is what Florio said.
Some have been saying that when you talk about the talent of the team, it's a little bit of a shot at Bill Belichick. You can't take a shot like that and have it directed at Belichick. It's directed at the current coach.
Yeah.
If you're soft, it's a reflection of the current coach.
That's right.
Mayo's going to talk his way out of this job. You realize that. We both like him. We both respect him. He, and I had somebody else with another team say this, he should not be saying the things he's saying. And it occurred to me yesterday, if he keeps talking like that, Robert Kraft's going to have no choice but to fire him.
Wow.
I mean, if they're not winning, I get it. But if he can turn it around, look at a lot of coaches have said dumb things and turned it around.
I think he said many times on this show, his philosophy is to speak to the players through the media.
Yep.
Like, so.
Yeah, he might want to change that.
He says all the time, the guys here, like he said it on our show a good three times. Like, I say things on this show so that the guys hear it. But I don't think when you're calling a football team soft that you do that anywhere other than in the locker room with them. I mean, what do you gain by saying it publicly?
Well, if he would have said...
Like, are you embarrassing them?
No, a little bit. But if he would have said, and I know he walked it back and said, well, here's what I meant. If he would have said that we played soft today,
that's fine.
Then, you're calling them out, you're making them look bad, you know, that kind of thing. But he didn't, right? He said, we're a soft team. And so now, even though he walks it back, it's kind of, you know, Curtis said it yesterday, it's too late, two paces out of the bottle, now you can't put it back in.
Right, and I would say this, Greg, about Robert Kraft, now is when you support your coach. Now is when you go and you sit in front of the Today Show or on Good Morning Football or on this program, wherever.
Or Charlemagne the God.
He's a P1 there. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's easy to say I was right to hire him when you're 1-1 and you've had a good couple weeks before the first game against the Jets. If you believe in him, because if he's the one leaking this crap, that is just the worst.
Yeah.
You knew this was going to be a bumpy year. You knew the team was going to struggle to win 4 or 5 games. And now you're telling people that...
You had second thoughts over the summer?
Like, where is leadership? What a fraud. Like, I'm not saying Jerod Mayo's the best coach of football. He's not yet. I don't know if he'll ever be. But you give this guy the job. You're telling Amazon pregame that you knew it 5 years ago, and you get 5 games into a losing streak, and you're already telling people you're jumping off the ship?
See, I don't know how much I can buy that, though.
But how did you know it 5 years ago after a trip to Israel?
Right.
Like, that...
Well, you could know it, right?
No, Wiggy, you don't know how somebody is going to be at a head coaching position until you have observed them at the near top of the stack when it comes to... being a coach. So,
well, you could like the way he does things that you see in the building. You could
it wasn't in the building.
He was coaching this team.
No, but it was he identified him as the next head coach while they were on a trip to Israel.
Right, you could do that.
Well, what was he doing? Was he running? Did he go to the kibbutz and run people through, you know?
Maybe how he dealt with people.
You know, a defense? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, it's the same way, like, it's just kind of the same way that Brad Stevens identified Mazzulla as the next head coach, right? You might see something about this guy that you like the qualities of how he talks to people, handles the people, whatever he saw, and then go, okay, this is the next guy when I do decide to move on from Bill. The thing that I would say that I don't necessarily buy is you don't have 5 years where you're like, okay, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy, and then not even halfway through his first year you go, oh, I think we made a mistake. Like, those two things ain't adding up, so I don't know how much of whoever reported that, I believe.
Well, he said it.
Who?
Robert Kraft is the one who said, I identified him.
No. I might have made
second thoughts.
Yes. I might have made a mistake. Whoever said.
It's Bedard who reported that. And then it's Tom E. Curran who said on this. Are we going to get to what Tom E. Curran said? We could get to that.
Yeah, we can get to that.
In 10 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Let's get to that in 10 minutes.
But either way, how is this job appeal? If they do fire him after 1 year, right? Let's just play this. We don't know that. That's not been reported. Who the hell would want to come here? You have the quarterback. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the roster sucks. The owner hasn't been spending on it. And after promising you a long runway, he's going to start telling people halfway through the season that you're out.
Yeah, you'd get somebody to come here. I mean,
no, I know you would, but I'm saying it's not an appealing job. Why? I mean, Robert Kraft should today say that, you know, I stand behind you, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's why I almost, it's hard for me to buy that you identified.
Second thoughts?
Yeah, like, you're not even midway through the season. Like, you
Oh, you had second thoughts over the summer is the reporting.
All right, so you had second thoughts. Like, I don't know, would you buy that based on if he really identified him?
Do you have second thoughts about Gerard Mayo going forward as
No.
head coach? You don't?
No.
Why?
Because
what has shown you that he's going to be a great head coach?
It's not what is
the team is in disarray.
Yeah.
On and off the football field.
Yes.
Guys are at free random.
Yep.
Talking about what is wrong with the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
They're on social media.
Yep.
Looking to get up and out of here. They're celebrating touchdowns by doing the phone hands and saying, call me, get me out of here. I mean, that's not what. How does that show you that he can be a head coach of an NFL team?
Because I told you, Dan Campbell's first year in Detroit, they were bad. There were times, and then even in the second year, people were calling for his job. They were like, what's this? What the kind of coaches they're talking about, bite kneecaps and bite him in the ass? Like, people were making a mockery of him. They did the same thing with Nick Sirianni when he got the job at Philadelphia, and he was like, I can't even remember, like, winning is a state of mind, and state of mind everybody's got to have. Like, so there were coaches that in their first year, they make a lot of mistakes, and they have to learn from them those mistakes. So I'm not like saying, all right, this was a mistake. I want to see what Mayo does.
How long is the learning curve, though, with this football team?
Well, I'd have to say, like, next year you'd have to see how he handles things.
Do you want to learn? Do you want a guy learning on your number three pick of a quarterback who I think is going to be a really good quarterback? Do you want somebody who's in? Like, do you want an intern that is managing?
Yeah, but he has no control over him.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's affecting Drake May so far. And I don't want to say it never could, but I think that we need to give Drake.
It's going to affect his development.
But I think the offensive coordinator's got to go if you want to talk about his development. I don't think Gerard Mayo needs to go for that.
See, that I believe that might be a Elliot Wolf thing. Let Mayo, or let's bring in a guy that has the capability to maybe be a really good offensive coordinator and help Drake May develop.
Then that
makes Mayo's job easier.
This week, wait for it. They're going to do a toss left.
All right. Well.
Wow.
Wow. We got to get to. Was there more? They said it. We can get to that coming up.
Yep. We can get to it coming up.
Okay. We will get to more of They Said It coming up on a Celtics Wednesday. And the Celtics, man, I'll tell you, what a night last night.
Wow.
Wow.
It was, and they tied the NBA record when it comes to made threes at 29. Wow. Think anybody is going to beat this team? We'll talk to Mego.
AVP, what'd you say when TNT broke out of that banner raising?
Wow.
Same.
Mego will join us at 9, and she is following this team intently this season for WEEI.
Wow.
Celtics Wednesday with Mego coming up at 9. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this moment? Courtney, are we supposed to be on Team Zach or Team Chicken Fry?
Team Chicken Fry, for sure.
Well, I am always on Team Chicken Fry. Always. Always.
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches because the food tastes great. I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. Yes, it's fried chicken.
It is.
I like fried chicken.
Who doesn't?
So what, he's a cheater?
Well, I mean, allegedly, but okay. I just think that the way that it was handled was classless by him. Like, she posted a video after kind of explaining things, saying, you know, I'm going to take a break from social media, blah, blah, blah. But saying that they had broken up the night before, she had woken up the next morning and had a million texts asking if she was okay. And she said, you know, she wanted to handle it as just two human beings going through a breakup. Oh. Instead, he brought it to social media and turned it into a whole thing.
Oh, boy.
So she cheated on him?
No. He allegedly cheated on her. There are some DMs that have been released. I mean, okay. I just want to know, they bought that house in Duxbury. What happens with that?
And so did she change her last name from Chicken Fried now?
It was Chicken Fried before Zach.
Oh.
Oh. That's her real last name, Chicken Fried?
No.
Wait, and who's this girl, Chicken Fried?
She has...
We'll explain it to you later. Yeah. We have important things
to get
to.
I heard you guys talking about her before.
We discussed it many times on the show. Maybe you were out.
No, I was here, but I want to get caught up into this whole Chicken Fried world. I
feel like chicken tonight?
All right, well, that's sad.
I have to say, I'm with Wiggy. I tried to figure this out yesterday. Yeah. It was explained to me, and I found myself more lost at the end.
Yeah. I just don't believe I'd want any finger-licking good chicken that she touched.
So there is
just saying.
There's Zach Brown, who sings of Chicken Fry.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I've heard that song before.
There's a woman named Brianna Chicken Fry.
And they're in a relationship.
And they were
in a relationship. Oh, they were in a relationship.
No, different Zach.
Yeah,
and her.
Zach Brian, different from Zach Brown.
Oh, okay.
You know what I want to do early, if that's okay, is get somebody who would like to bring their hero to Lunch with a Hero, our annual Veterans Day event, which is happening on Friday, November 8th. We added a show that morning at the American Heritage Museum, which is in Hudson and partly in my adopted home continent of Stowe. It's an unbelievable place. You will, no disrespect to Wiggy and to Courtney, but you'll learn a lot about history while you're at this broadcast.
Yeah. I would love to learn more.
They have, it's really amazing the stuff that they have there, including an actual, I won't do this justice, but an actual POW prison cell from Hanoi and from the Vietnam War. And there's a story that they tell there about this guy who was a prisoner of war for a long, long time in Vietnam. And mentally kept track of every prisoner that was there during his time in other cells. So they would find ways to communicate. And he kept track of who they were. What branch of the service they served in, where they were from, and then was able to, when he finally got released, was able to reconstruct from memory that list of every single POW who had been there, held prisoner in Hanoi. And so it's an incredible place. We would love for you to come out and join us on Friday, November 8th. But if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, then you can bring your hero. So we want to obviously thank those who have served this country, and you should bring him or her to the event on Friday, November 8th at the American Heritage Museum. And then you should join us for lunch afterwards at the 110 Grill. And so call now and tell us who you want to bring. You can also go online and do this on the contest page at WEEI.com. And we will celebrate on that morning the 100th birthday of a friend of this show, Joe Landry, who served in World War II and is a member of the Greatest Generation. Mm. And I'm hoping that everybody will come out that morning specifically to thank Joe and shake Joe's hand and say happy birthday to Joe.
Imagine remembering all of those names and all of that information while in a cell, and Wiggy can't remember his coworkers' names right now.
No, I just built differently.
Or his teammates.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at my teammates. But I've
Sean, just so you know, he couldn't put it all in the notes part of his Apple iPhone.
I got more right than Ty did, teammate names.
Couldn't do that.
I like the summer, like it's interesting to see some of the stories, like, you know, do you ever see the thing of the tunnel rat soldiers?
Yes.
So it'd be pretty cool, like, you'll be blown away.
You'll be blown away by what you get to experience at the American Heritage Museum. So,
you know, I'm a big Call of Duty fan, Greg. Yes. So I love the military.
Yes, I know you are. All right. So, Shime, we had a couple things left. They said it wise. I want to get to what Tom E. Curran said on this radio station yesterday.
Yeah, do you want to do Tommy Curran first, or do you want to?
Okay, let's do Tommy Curran first because Curtis brought it up during his lead this morning.
Yeah, so Tommy was on the program yesterday with Jones and Keith, and Jones asked him about possibly losing the locker room, and here is what Curran had in response.
I would think he's at a level of risk. Certainly, he just Mayo. I'm talking about. You had a bad enough performance on the field to lose 32-16. It wasn't that close. It was a fourth down play that Jacksonville got turned away on. There was another long drive that ended in a field goal. They could have put up 40 on you. They didn't. You have enough to deal with without marching to the podium and unsolicited calling the team soft. Not saying they're playing soft, calling them soft. Mm-hmm. So that turns into, at 1 in the afternoon or 12:30, a feast for the rest of the day. What happened in between those 1 and 5 teams in Europe? Yeah, not much, except the head coach said his team was soft. I've never heard that before. I've never really heard that before from a first-year head coach. Wow, that's worth diving into. So, again, unforced errors. And to me, when you are going to turn the gun on your locker room in that fashion, what are you doing to help them out? And when I watch a defense get run on 18 consecutive times the way DeMarcus Covington's was, and they don't really do anything to say, you know what, I don't care how many people we have to put in the box, you're not doing that to us anymore. If we have to put the entire franchise in there, we're doing it. Not doing that just dangles them out to dry. So I do think that it's certainly, with this new culture coming in, the links to the McCourty, Slater, Andrews group have been severed to a degree because of the injuries to Bentley, Andrews. They're diminished on the field, they're diminished in leadership, and I just don't think that turning the fire hose on the locker room and saying, you guys stink, which is basically what happened, is the way to go.
Okay, so Tommy Curran says he's at risk of losing the locker room. Can you argue that he's already lost it?
I don't know if he's lost the faith of those in the locker room, but he certainly doesn't have control over it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. He's definitely lost what his players will say publicly. Like, they have no problem at all with saying what's on their mind, whether it's through the media or through the social media and having us all wonder what the hell that means.
And you're talking about critical stuff. Like, you're talking about criticizing the organization, the way it's being run, the you know, amount of touches that, if you're a wide receiver, that you're not getting, whatever.
Playing time, conditioning, whatever it is. Like, all the things that you would think you would say behind closed doors in a team meeting. Guys, we need to be in better shape. We look slow out there. We look like we're out of shape.
I guess, Greg, my biggest frustration is not on the field. Obviously, they stink. But how can you ask players to be disciplined when you're not disciplined yourself at the microphone? When time after time you say something and then you're forced to walk it back. And the Polk reaction to Instagram was by far and away my most concerning event. where he just was unable to say, that's wrong, accountability needs to be done.
What do you
think? Isn't that what people wanted? Was a head coach who actually said things?
Yup.
Yeah.
We complained about it.
No.
We complained when Bill was like,
such a weak argument.
No, you just said this is what happens when you go to the podium and you then say things that you then have to walk back because you say things.
No, he said something. And he said he just missed a word. It wasn't that he was needing to be more verbose.
No.
Yes, it is. Wait, what are you guys missing? He has said things over and over again where he's had to clean up the way in which he said it, not how long he said about it.
I've seen people try to make this point, and from my perspective, it fails. Like, this is why Bill, after an awful loss or whatever, would step up there and say, you know what, it's really on the coaches. It's on me and the coaches.
He would always say, we have to coach better, we have to play better.
Yes, and he would deflect it away from the players.
Right.
No, he'd say, we have to coach better, we have to play better.
Yeah, but he would put the onus on himself.
He would always say, we need to coach better, we need to play better.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was circulating that audio of he and Brady talking, and he was putting it on himself, but yes, okay.
The Polk situation I found to be even more interesting yesterday when he posted, like, a Bible verse. And then Drake May reposted it on his story. To me, that, because we were all assuming that he was saying, you know, peace. And if you're a teammate of that after a loss, you're saying, like, what the hell?
Well, Drake's also a big God guy.
Yeah, so. but that verse, that Bible verse, is saying, like, you don't understand now, but you will one day. And so, I mean, maybe we all read the Polk situation wrong. Maybe that peace wasn't what it was supposed to be.
So, what was the peace for?
We don't know, but to post that, John 13:7.
Yeah.
But that's the point that Greg and I are talking about. When you open the door to, and granted, we've had some social media things in the past with Bill, but not as much as we're having like this.
Yeah.
We never really had much when it came to players voicing their displeasure or their, like,
frustration
with playing time, condition, and we didn't really have that with them doing that through the media. And this is just like, hey, you could do it both ways, but when you do it this way and you're not winning, then everybody in the locker room goes, well, if our leader's saying something, then I can say something.
All right, we got to take a break. Coming up next, we'll get to Courtney in today's news, including what one airline is finally doing to thwart the most flagrant of airport etiquette violators. We will get to that coming up next.
It's time for...
Before Trump got out of office, I only had to put $10 in my truck, go back and forth to work.
The news.
And then prices on beer goes up. And hey, that's the working man's Gatorade right there.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
As it should be, too.
Of course.
Especially at this... in this economy.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
What does the economy have to do with increased security at the Olympics, if you really want me to ask?
It heightens emotions.
On WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood
out? Well, a falling drone hurt 3 fans at the Celtics watch party last night at City Hall Plaza. It looked pretty cool, the setup.
Yeah.
A lot of fans there, but unfortunately, a drone fell from the sky.
Was it an authorized drone?
I believe it was,
okay.
Yes. The injuries were non-life-threatening. There were reports of one woman being taken out in a stretcher. Happened around 7:30, just as the game was getting started.
Jeez.
We can hear from one victim, Yosef Kobisi.
I hear a loud sound, sounds like a banging sound. Suddenly I feel something hit my head right here, a sharp. I was initially very scared because I heard a loud sound, then felt something sharp hit my head. And then I hear the woman next to me scream, and she seems like she's going to fall.
Mm. And to forget about it, I would require 2 yes. season tickets for every right. Celtics game. Mm-hmm.
Somebody's getting a bag.
Yep.
Bag of cash. Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Dangerous, the drones.
Yes,
I guess.
Very dangerous.
If they're not operated by a certified drone operator.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Among the lawsuits filed against P. Diddy, there is one that a pro athlete allegedly stopped him from sexually assaulting a guy at a party. A luxury car businessman in Los Angeles was invited to the launch party for Ciroc back in 2022 by guy, Diddy.
He's the one who's filed the lawsuit,
yes,
the guy?
Yeah, okay. he's a John Doe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The man alleges Combs stripped off his pants and exposed himself after inviting the guest into his private office during the event. Then Combs moved closer and grabbed the plaintiff's genitals through his pants, squeezing them in a rough and sexual manner. This advancement was stopped when the unnamed sports star, only identified in the suit as professional athlete A, came into the office and intervened. The filing says that the businessman allegedly fled the room and immediately left the party. He was invited to the party by Diddy himself, said he had worked with Diddy for quite some time.
Jeez.
Yep.
So very interesting.
Like drone lady, I'll settle out.
Yeah, and if you're watching on Twitch right now, these are allegedly photos that this businessman took of Diddy and other A-list celebrities at the party.
I can't see if Diddy has his pants on.
They're on in these photos.
How many people...
Take that.
How many people that we respect or we, you know, we look up to knew about this guy?
Oh, my God.
Like, I mean, how disgusting.
It really is disturbing.
As a human being.
Who was the, did they say it was an A-list athlete or A-list. It's just athlete A?
I believe it was A-list, but then they said professional athlete A.
I wonder who that was. They're a hero. They are a hero.
Who was that? OBJ.
My first thought was LeBron.
Your first thought was LeBron.
Okay,
yeah.
Bronny being a hero.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yep.
I thought Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah. The McDonald's Quarter Pounder has been linked to an E. coli outbreak that's sickened 49 people in 10 different states, killing one.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Nope.
So they've all these people that have come down with E. coli, a really bad strain of it. They've all said that they've had the Quarter Pounder from McDonald's. Here's CBS News chief medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook.
McDonald's says the illnesses may be linked to slivered onions used on Quarter Pounders. And the CDC told me just now that another possibility is the patty itself, which is just used on the Quarter Pounder, which McDonald's says has been removed from a total of 12 states.
Bad.
Time for some rebranding.
What just happened? Not political. I'm talking what just happened in terms of a rollout at McDonald's.
Oh, the chicken Mac?
Chicken Mac.
Oh.
Take the Quarter Pounder off the menu. Curtis, you're a genius.
I don't think people respect just how brilliant I am, but that's okay. But yes, that exact point, that's the first thing I thought of.
I don't think they would undergo an E. coli breakout so as to sell more chicken Macs.
Well, if they believe in that chicken sandwich... Look what happened to Popeyes.
I don't know if I'm going to McDonald's, period, once I know there's an E. coli outbreak.
I still went to Chipotle.
Yeah, have you ever seen Cleveland Circle? I mean, it's fact.
Yeah, Chipotle did recover from that whole thing over by Boston University.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Boston,
come on.
It was the better college.
Oh, it was BC? Yeah. Oh,
not the safety school.
Is that the
basketball team?
The Rats?
No.
Oh, no.
Rats.
It was like the E. coli breakout. Didn't Danny Ainge get that?
I was thinking of another Chipotle
store. You just miss entire periods of life.
No, I
don't know how that happened.
Was
that food thing?
No.
With the rats?
I think the problem
I used to get people into the rat.
The problem is you guys...
Pay attention
to
the news.
I'm not as widely when it comes to the news. Right. I'm all over.
Well, we were talking about a specific instance where the BC basketball team came down with E. coli.
Well, but there was a whole Chipotle story about rats being in restaurants. That was here in Massachusetts. See?
Was it?
Yes. Just Google it. My vast knowledge of world stuff that's going on far superior than what you guys
know. Fair. Really? That is fair. That is fair.
That is true.
You know, you are more well-read than the rest of us.
Yes, when it comes to a lot of different subjects.
Wow. Should we do a Jackson Wiggy current events?
When it comes to a lot. I know way more current events than pretty much everybody in
Jackson had a pretty good idea the other day with regard to Wiggy. He said we should do a game called Florida or Fake, where we share two stories. One is an actual, Florida not like the rest of a story that was in the news, and the other one is a fake. And we see if Wiggy can figure out which is which.
And what was your Chipotle hack, Wiggs, again? You gave me a great idea about getting the double meat.
The double chicken. When you go in there and you ask for you don't ask for double meat, before they put the chicken on it. You wait till they put the chicken on
the full spoonful.
And then as soon as they slide down, you say, oh, can I get double meat? And then they come back and they give you another double spoon.
You think if you ask for it at the start, they're not giving you the actual double meat.
There
what
it
you,
is.
What are you looking at?
That's on the Twitch. That's the Chipotle store.
It's in Chicago.
Yeah. No, but
Chicago.
There were multiple.
I know. It's not in Boston.
That's one, but
in Chicago.
But there's one.
I know, but you need to be fair to the Chipotle people.
But there's there were stories in Mitch. Find it if you... Oh, I'll find
what
it
about
for you.
Chicago?
That also doesn't look like a Chipotle. That looks like a barn.
Right.
So here's what I have to do. I have to find it.
It's a tweet from Eric Shun. I mean, can we take a break?
Sure.
We will get to the rest of the news, including, finally, what one airline is doing to thwart the most flagrant of airport etiquette violators. That's probably you. And you won't be able to get away with it anymore on my watch and on the watch of American Airlines. So we'll get to that coming up next.